Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The school of Tupac, I'm a rhyme. You don't want to what?
Me.
Tell I'm not your average Negro.
Hold up.
Taz, I want to ask you a question real quick.
Let's just keep it real, straight shot with no chaser. I'm going to get a little bit rough.
I'm here for those who really believe in the American process. All of us.
Straight shot, no chaser. With your girl, Teslam Figaro, on the Black Effect Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. This is Teslam Figaro. I have a very, very special guest with me, Dr. Steve Perry. We do, I guess you would call it, cross-pollinate. In many of the same circles. And so I thought this was a really, really good conversation. I talked about this when I addressed the Candace Owens thing, that it seems, and again, this is just personal experience, when Black women, because I want people to know where Black women were at that time and even now, and where that frustration and that trauma comes from a lot of times. With I did post, and for those who are following me, put a 5 in the chat if you remember. When I said, now I've been loving on you, Black man, this whole time as an activist, this whole time. It is plenty of Black conservatives who agree with many of the points that Candace Owens have said. That's never been. We know that there are Black people who are anti-abortion, who are pro-2A, who are pro-business, who are anti-tax, who don't support President Biden, who are all of who know that the government is against us. But when somebody has made an intentional effort to disconnect from you, and then there's somebody like myself.
That's different than politics. That's different than politics.
That's right. That's different. But I'm trying to draw a conclusion here on the Black woman who has consistently, for the most part, not everything perfect, but loved your Black ass, to be clear, in spite of yourself, in spite of what you did, in spite of George Floyd, yes, he had a drug problem. Yes, he could have complied. Yes, all those things. But his life still mattered. So when you have a woman who has said, no, George Floyd should have complied. He is a joke. It is a setup. Even if you believe that, but you went out your way to demonize that man. And then you have an activist like myself who the whole time been saying, I love you the whole time. But now that somebody has now pretended to now get you, now you uplift this person. And I think that goes back to a lot of trauma of needing the person that never liked me at school, the person that made a point.
I think that too.
Let me put a pin on this just right quick. Needing that person to now say, you know what? You're worthy. And so we now, because I want you to chime in on this, and I'm in, bear with me, guys, because we're doing layers here. We're digging deep. When you look at that and you look at what OJ Simpson, being able to say, you know what? You were never with us. There was a sector of the Black population, and I can just speak to women, who said, you know what? We're going to give you another shot. And this even happens still today. So I want to ask you, when you said, not me, once you make your decision, stay over there. Speak on that a little bit, Dr. Perry. Should we be more like that? Or should we say, you know what? We're still going to fight the man together, even if you don't like us at all.
So my grandmother, I loved her with the intensity of the sun. And my grandmother, I spent a lot of time there. And I saw my uncles and father and other folks come over to the house. And this is how the conversation would go. They come over, hey, how y'all doing? And we as kids sitting there looking like, because they ain't really asking how she doing. And then this is how it goes. Rest of the conversation goes, Mom, can I talk to you for a minute? Then my grandmother will go over, come out, break them off a 20 or whatever she had in there. It seemed like she had an ATM in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would leave. My grandmother's not the only grandmother who did that.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother is among the many mothers who are doing that now, who want their sons to do right. They want to believe that this time your ass is going to stop.
This
now you're going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to stop. They tell themselves, their friends. I grew up resenting that move. Mm. After they would leave, and you know, which they say a child's place, and I was very made very aware of my place. But I'm not saying I didn't give it a shot to come up out of it during that time. And I would say, Grandma, why do I keep giving her money?
Mm-hmm.
And she would tell me about my place and I would leave it there. And my grandfather would, you know, he would shrug his way like whatever. Like, I can't do anything about it. And so as a person, this has nothing to do with my studies. This has nothing to do with my work. As a person, I struggle mightily to just let somebody back.
Mm.
I hold a grudge. Mm-hmm. I do. For a very long time. For a very long time. My father and I didn't speak maybe 15 years.
Mm.
Till he passed. Excuse me. If you want me to know who you are, then you got to show me who you are and I have to take it for what it is. But I'll say this. I would accept conversations with, with an OJ type, with a Clarence Thomas type, where we talk about politics. But what I'm not going to do is say, come on back like everything is cool, because it's not cool.
Don't you Candace, think that plays out? And that plays Candace, out in Candace what we went, did, our trauma. Go ahead.
Yeah, Candace went harder than most.
Yes.
She didn't just say, again, accept. And I believe that when we peel back most Black people, like if we just sit back in a real conversation, Black people, and by and large, I believe to be more conservative than most people realize. Most African Americans who I know, generally speaking, just from a politic, not Republican, I want to be clear.
Because there is a difference.
Mm-hmm. They are more conservative
and
than
I'm sorry,
we've been.
Dr. Perry, your volume's going in and out. Your headset may be going in and out. We can't hear you. We can hear you, but I want to make sure that we don't lose this good. This right, good. Too.
Let's okay. see this. Is this better?
Yes.
I think that most Black people who I encounter are more conservative than we think.
Moderate.
So I don't think.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But some are straight up against many of the things that the Democratic Party asked them to go for.
Yes.
It just facts. Just straight up politics. That's what it is. So I'm not talking about politics here
right.
at all. What I'm saying is when someone has made a conscientious effort to destroy African-Americans and call out black people being black and saying things like there is no such thing as racism and saying that racism is a social construct that you internalize and accept, that when you say things like slavery was a choice, when you say things like Floyd was a drug addict, when you say things like that's not the point here. When you do things to disparage and undermine, and then, again, I'm going to call this what I call it. When I do look at your cookout, when I do look at your wedding, and you look like a guest at your wedding,
you're right.
Like a guest. One of these things is doing it. When you don't, and I, you and I both know people, like there's a cat I know, he's a really good friend of mine. His name is Jonah Cohen. He's as Jewish a person as he can be. And he tells a story about being, if you go to something at Jonah's house, Jonah's got black people, they're Jewish people. Like he's just a person, you know what I mean? And Jonah, he doesn't try to become something that he's not. He teaches at a community college. He's, you know, he's like that guy, right? When my son needs something, Jonah will take care of it. Uncle Jonah will take care of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the binary of race. I'm talking about a person who has made a conscious effort to undermine the black community. And I have to accept that if Candace Owens was still an employee of a former employer, I have to accept that she would not have gone on some of the things that she's gone on and said some of the things that she said. I just have to believe that. I use her and OJ as parallels here. I don't have any ill feelings towards Candace Owens in terms of I don't know her to feel like hate or one word. I'm just talking about what she's presented in the world. I'm talking about what the way I've internalized what she said. I use her and I want to say this because I don't want to just stay on the right, because you and I both know, sis, mm-hmm. there are more than a few people who we consider left-leaning progressives who ain't much different than she is.
Oh, no question. And they hide now, behind that left cloth.
Let me just told you that politics ain't no safer for black people either. You don't want them making decisions on your behalf either. Telling you right now. So what happens is they get away with it. Many of these people who are on the left, who are black, who are highly educated, if you check the pedigree, they just the internet talking about what they feel and what they don't feel, and they always have as their ruse, as their anti-hero Trump. So they can always talk about Trump. What you actually do, just because you have a Twitter following of, just because they trust you on MSNBC, just because they trust you as the DEI person at your company. What I want people to understand real and true is these large white corporations and universities do not hire African Americans who they think are going to change the college's culture, the company's culture. So if you see somebody, Dr. Gay, who is heading up something like Harvard University, they hired her because they knew that she wasn't going to do a damn thing to change that institution. Nothing. She wasn't going to do anything to make that organization have more African Americans work there or become employees there. I mean, or go to school there. The point I'm making is this: the conversation is bigger than looking at the right leaning or rightist black people left behind, like the Clarence Thomases or the Candace Owens, because there are people on the left who the same damn thing. And that's we right. all know who they are. And if you and I started calling people's names, people be like, "Yo, for real?"
Yes, and I know people are, and I want to reset again. Thank you so much. People like Nat Babe 21 who's saying, "I'm watching you guys on YouTube and she's on Instagram," but she don't want to miss a word. For some reason, I'm gonna let you reset. I don't know if you take your headset out. We do hear you well, but I'm nervous that I don't know if your battery's going out. Again, guys, we got about 800 people who are watching on my stream, on my YouTube. We also have this on Two Way. As well, Google Two Way on your YouTube, Teslin Figaro, and tap in on this. This is a very, very important conversation with my friend, Dr. Steve Perry. I just wanted to reset. This is normally just a 30-minute show, but as you see, this is how we talk all the time, guys. And you may be wondering, And I won't hold you up too much longer because we can do several shows on this. It's so many onions with this O.J. Simpson. And people may be wondering, well, how did we get into politics? How did it go from talking about O.J. Simpson dying of cancer to what was happening at the trial at that time? How did it go to interracial relationships? How did it slide down the Candace Owens and the Jonathan Majors? And then how do we start talking about conservative and liberal? Well, the answer is, for those that did not live in real time, during that time, this case had all of those things, all of those things. It was one of the most profound real-time case studies on race. I encourage
people to go. It's called the trial of the century.
It was called the trial of the century for a reason.
Not because a man killed his wife, because you can watch 48 Hours every Friday night and or 2020, and you will see, guess who killed the wife?
Right.
Guess who killed her?
Right.
That happens all the time. Sadly, marriage apparently brings out the worst in some of these folks, but that happens all the time. This was the trial of the century because for the first time you saw black privilege up on trial. Is it possible that in the United States of America for black privilege to beat white privilege?
Right.
Dang.
Woo! Just how's unheard that possible? Of. Unheard of.
You know a spot. But not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
we forgot about what was happening with Chris Darden, who was the prosecutor on the time, still a black man that lived in the community, still a black man that, now again, Chris Darden represented.
Blacker than OJ.
Blacker than OJ. That's right. Blacker than OJ. And also representing many of black people who had their children murdered. And I also want to bring this point, because again, I know people don't like it when I bring this up, but it is important. Johnny Cochran was a prosecutor at one point in time. I know y'all don't know that. I know y'all like to ignore that. But Johnny Cochran was a prosecutor at one time, folks.
Which means he was putting black people away.
Let's be clear about this. So there's so many different layers to this that we can talk about. And before we go, I want to be respectful of your time. Because guys, again, they're saying they're putting a three. They want you to come back, Dr. Perry. Because what about what Chris Darden? This ran Chris Darden out the game. Remember, he went through like a depression with it.
That actually hurt me because Chris, well, here's why Chris got jammed up. He got caught up in undertow. Again, I want us to be reminded that during this time, our music was telling us to fight the power. I mean, you could go to a party and listen to revolutionary music, not shake that ass, let that coochie breathe. That's not what we were listening to.
Wait a minute, Dr. I got to be honest now. Now, hold on now, because I'm a liar, because in 1995, I was listening to Shake It and Let It Breathe. I am an alum of Lil' Kim and Mus.
That came afterwards.
Oh, not 1995. No,
95. That came after the 80s where you had conscious hip hop.
Because I was absolutely listening to Let It Breathe.
That was back in the mid, in the late 80s, early 90s was when I was, when hip hop was alive and breathing in me. And that's
okay,
when
you gotta be clear about the time.
But the point is that it came afterward, and that wasn't the move. So you had all these things happen. Remember, you also had, for the first time, people like Eddie Murphy. You had people who were black people who were in the media who were creating these stories. Harlem Nights,
yes,
right? Harlem Nights had come out. You got Harlem Nights.
Can I put a pin right there, right quick? Quick pin, because I want people to know why Harlem Nights was so important. How sharp those brothers dressed, because we got to deal with that too.
Everything about it, the way
Johnny Cochran walked in the room with his...
He channeled all of that. Johnny Cochran, to your point about teaching how to win in the court of public opinion, Johnny Cochran said, oh, black medallions, no gold, I got that. Oh, coming in sharp, I got that. Oh, coming in... Johnny Cochran literally went on the shelf and he went into the cupboard of the black community and he pulled out all of the greatest hits. If Johnny Cochran could have come into the courtroom with a theme song, he would have come in with a theme song. He'd come in with something like Marvin Gaye. He'd have, what's going on? Johnny Cochran would have clicked his coat back, he'd pow, and he'd come in there. We heard that when he came in there. OJ was just the scene of the action. He wasn't why we were there. People didn't come out loving OJ for that.
Right.
They celebrated Johnny, not OJ.
Right, right. And that is truly what it was about. I wonder, though, I think that has shifted. I think it hasn't shifted. I think the message now is even stronger than before, because since then we've seen more of, because remember at the beginning of the conversation, you pointed out for the first time seeing what we already knew about Rodney King.
Rodney King.
Since then, we've seen Trayvon Martin, even though that wasn't by the police still. We've seen George Floyd. We've seen, you know, the many, many, many murder. We've seen the Michael
Marbury,
Grant,
all of them.
Yeah, all of them. We've seen it. So now, even more now than ever, people are saying this was a chance. This was an opportunity that the man beat the system. And that's what this has always been about. And white America has said, and even some in black America, but a person was murdered. Speak to that a little bit, Dr. Perry. And then I want to be mindful of your time. But why do you think that people are dismissive of the murder? Do you think?
I do.
You do?
I do. Okay. I do. I mean, because here's what it is. Even we in this conversation haven't talked about Nicole Brown. Whatever she was or wasn't, She was much more than a white woman. She was somebody's mother. She was a wife. It appears that she was someone who people cared about very deeply. She was a daughter, sister. And that she is now tied through eternity to an issue of race, when one might be able to argue that, at least for her, she fell in love with the man. Mm-hmm. And they raised children together. She'd be in her 70s now, right? And maybe, I guess, a little younger than him. So maybe she wouldn't, I don't know her exact age. It's a terrible thing. And again, anyone who's ever been in a domestic violence situation, or who has been raised in one, or who has worked with people in one, that stuff ain't cool, man. It's not cool. And in at least from
why do you think that was ignored? Why do you think that was ignored? Like, when we look at the stats on domestic violence that can absolutely turn into murder, why do you think that was ignored as not even a possibility?
You know, because as I said at the top of this, O.J. Simpson was sold to us as this goofy, affable guy. He was Patrick Mahomes doing insurance commercials. That's who he was to us. He was a funny guy who didn't take himself too seriously. He was in the Naked Gun movies, which was a huge franchise for a lot of us to go and watch. And you have to keep in mind, for real, you mentioned Good Times. You mentioned Sanford and Son and the Jeffersons. You mentioned those three.
Yes.
But I want people to keep in mind that during this time, we rarely saw black people on television. You could watch the Today Show and see all black hosts on the Today Show on any given day. Mm-hmm. But I grew up during a time when you would get a call. Yo, there are black people on TV. Turn the channel. And so you turn the channel trying to find black people on television. I grew up during a time when you could only listen to black music, meaning not Michael Jackson, on Sundays on college radio in most parts of the country. It would start with gospel. It would work its way to R&B. It would go to hip hop. And then it would finish with The Quiet Storm. That's the only way you could hear black music. So, or if you went to the record store and bought it. So keep in mind that there were very few black people who were the chosen ones. And he was the chosen one. He was the chosen one, whether we liked him or whether we thought we could accept the fact that he was a Heisman Trophy winner. We could accept the fact he was an affable guy. He was, by and large, a likable guy. So,
and even though he was the chosen one, and he would, many would say, abandon us, or maybe black women at that time. I wasn't alive to know what that felt like when he left his black wife. But I think there's something too, you saying he was the chosen one, and when it appeared that he was willing to come back, we wanted that so bad. We want to know that we're worthy enough to circle the block. We want to know that, you know, even though we know the reasons why he did, there's something in our mind that delusion. We want to know that
something
maybe he just
something happened
it out.
Even before that, though. And as soon as I remember, so something happened even before the trial. Remember the white Bronco chase, mm-hmm. the low speed Bronco chase. His boy, right? Ron is driving the car. He's driving the Bronco. OJ's laid down in the back. And on the overpasses, people had signs, run, yes. OJ, run. Run, OJ, run. This is in the same city that had a riot a couple years before because a black man had been beaten damn near to death. And so now they're like, this one's going to get away. Yeah. Not like he could go anywhere. He just went home.
Right,
but,
right.
So it was more than whether he was coming back. Black people and other people were on the overpasses cheering this man on, like one of us maybe will make it out. It's awful that children have a mother who's murdered. It's mm-hmm. awful that a father has a daughter who's been murdered. It's awful that a sister and nieces and children who they don't know what her sense of humor would have turned into when she got older. And, you know, what kind of grandmother would she have been? And, you know, what would she have done with her life? Maybe she'd have done something really, really powerful, or maybe she wouldn't, but we'll never know mm-hmm. because in my opinion, OJ killed her. And people, I want to say this one quick thing about this really quickly. people say, well, how could he have done that? People forget that O.J. Simpson was a very large man, very large, strong man. We're not talking about a guy who's 5'5", 140 pounds going up against his sister who's 144 pounds and it's like a bang out. We're talking about a very small young woman and a very large, strong, world-class athlete.
Right. That was on the field being hit and hitting strong men.
And treated those men who hit him like tissue paper.
Right.
When you see what he was able to do with the strongest men alive at that time.
Yes.
What he was able to do, y'all didn't want OJ grabbing you. You didn't want OJ grabbing
you. We're talking about a woman that was probably 120 pounds at best. And even Ron Goldman at that time. Yeah, even Ron Goldman at the time. Very, I think he was 130 pounds, like 40, like very small, small people. And I this is a whole nother podcast because I really love getting into the evidence of this case. But continue, because you know they're going to be mad and say OJ didn't do it. Where are y'all getting? I'm just trying
whatever.
To get in front.
I don't
care. Clearly they didn't look at the evidence, but go ahead. They said blood would have been everywhere. But go ahead.
Yeah, it was. But anyway, I digress. So then, for me, we owe it to every single woman who right now is thinking, I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't going to say nothing because if I say something, people going to think I'm lying like they thought Nicole Brown Simpson was lying. And I'm not going to say nothing about it. You know, I'm just going to take this ass whooping and maybe he'll stop. And maybe, you know, because he doesn't beat my ass every day. He beats it sometimes. And so when he's not beating my ass, he's a good dude. Like he's a good father. He's a good earner. Whatever they think the good is that he is, that's worth the behind whooping that they keep taking. We cannot have a conversation about O.J. Simpson without having a very important conversation about how important is that I, as a heterosexual black man and father who has sons, so I'm not even talking about my daughters who has sons, have an obligation to make sure that when we know dudes put their hands on women, call them the bitches that they are, call them the clowns that they are, call them the weak men that they are. If you're a man, you put your hands on a woman, you're a punk. You're a weak ass punk. I don't care. Well, they get mouthy. If you're concerned about a woman beating your ass, we got a bigger problem. So in this case, we have to take this opportunity in the most guttural, honest sense and call out what needs to be called out. We could talk about him being a sellout and him being in the white community and all those other things. That is cool. But if, and we do know this from the evidence of the case, that he did put his hands on her. We know he did. We know he absolutely did. She didn't give herself the black eye. She didn't beat herself up. Come on, man. Come on, man. But he got away with it because he was a chosen one. He got away with it. And not everybody... Very few people are married to, going with, dating, whatever we call it today, messing with a world-class athlete.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can hear her on the 911 tape say he's going to get away with it again. I mean, she literally would say it when she would call. But and again, this is not me caping for Nicole. I'm just telling you guys in the comments what the evidence actually was. And there was also a lot of evidence that did not make it to the trial. For example, the woman that said she saw O.J. Simpson driving away from Bundy Drive, but because she went and talked to the media, the National Enquirer picked it up, that was thrown out. There was also evidence where the guy who lived in Nicole's apartment complex said, I heard a black man, you know, arguing with them. And that got thrown out because Johnny Cochran, again, being a spectacular defense attorney, as he should, got that thrown out because he said, what does a black man sound like? There was many pieces of this that did not make it, you know, to the trial, because, again, the legal team was indeed the defense attorney would. And we'll close out here because I could have a whole podcast just about the evidence alone. But for me, even as a child or teenager at that time, for me, it was always, and all those things you talk about, you know, where people can say circumstantial or just because somebody beat somebody don't mean they'll kill them. For me, it was always the limo driver. That was always because I always looked at the limo driver doesn't have a dog in the fight. It was documented what time he arrived. It was 10:10, somewhere around that time. It was documented that he called in to say, hey, Mr. Simpson's not here. It was documented that he called back, that he rang the doorbell several times. It was documented that he called back and said, oh, I see him now. You saw the black shadowy figure go into the house. And it was documented when he came out. All of these things of that time, of what was happening during that time, was documented. And so I always looked at that piece of evidence. And they've done this, guys. Like, you guys got to go back and just watch all of this and come up with your own narrative. But the between him and Cato saying that he heard the thump at that exact time on his air condition.
Hit the wall,
Yes, that he was on the phone with his friend and said, I just heard something outside, that was where the glove was found. All of those things with people that didn't have a dog in the fight, that really had no reason to, for that timeline to add up. They checked the phone records. He was on the phone at that time, like all of it. So for me, it was always about looking at what happened during that time. Either you did it, or you know who did it, or you were there or something. There was some connection with that. And remember, he did a big PR campaign after he got away, after he was found not guilty. I'm going to find who murdered my wife. We never heard anything. What we did hear was a book that said, If I Did It. What we did hear was mocking, like, guys, now you can go on Instagram and look. Well, and somebody saying the glove didn't fit. Again, these are people that just watch the trial this one time and see these memes.
If you took a glove and you drop, if you take a leather glove and you drop it in water and let it dry, it will come out two sizes smaller.
Correct. That's the correct. Do That's it. A fact. And it was also under another piece of plastic. He had to have his hands in plastic. So again, there are many, many things that people have to look at when you look at this case. The dramatization that was in the media, like people are saying in the comments, oh, the glove didn't fit. The genius line by Johnny Cochran, from the esteemed Johnny Cochran, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. All of those things, the media, going out. Johnny Cochran also organized around this, had community activists around this, had people on the ground who were sending the message, which is why when I train how to win in the court of public opinion, it's very important that you're keeping the narrative going, that we create our own narrative. This is why I tell people, when people say protests don't matter and what you're doing doesn't matter. Yes, it does, because what we're doing is actually preparing that jury. And we can see this by example with the George Floyd matter, with when Derek Chauvin was on trial, guys, go back and look and see where the jury, where the guy, the people who actually recorded said, well, I knew to take out my phone and record it because I knew something wasn't right about this. Well, how did they learn this? Through the protests, through the education of social justice, through saying, if you see something, record it. Through all of these things, guys, we have created.
Through Rodney King.
That's right. Created an environment where now you are actually getting the jury, getting your jury to think how you need them to think when they get in that booth, And it has played to our advantage. The problem is people don't want to sign up for jury duty. They do anything to get out of jury duty, not understanding we need you in that, need you there because you have a different perspective. And that's what you see with George Chauvin. Somebody also said Mark Furman. We forgot all about that. That's a whole nother conversation. When Mark Furman, when they caught him on tape saying the racist things that he said, it was over with, from the idea of
he can't be impartial and he can't be telling the truth.
That's right. That's right. When the person is racist as hell that found the glove, we automatically say there's no way he could be telling the truth. And people also need to look at reasonable doubt. I encourage you to go look that up, because there are a lot of people like throwing that out. All you need is one reasonable doubt. Reasonable doubt doesn't mean just anything. It has to be something substantial, you know, that makes sense. And so the way this dream team put it together, from the forensic science with DNA, which, by the way, guys, Barry Sheck, even today, founded the Innocence Project. Got plenty of brothers out right now. People don't even know about that. The Innocent Project, we do work with them. Barry Sheck founded that based on DNA. When you had Barry Sheck with DNA, when you had F. Lee Bailey, notorious for how he delivered and how he was able to drive a point home. He was the one that questioned Mark Furman. You know, people didn't like it the way I questioned Vivek Ramaswamy. They still talk about that to this day. But that was a F. Lee Bailey style. You know, I remember Dr. Perry watching this as a teenager saying, yes, I'm the F. Lee Bailey. That was who I gravitated to. It wasn't necessarily the smooth, you know, Johnny Cochran. It was the F. Lee Bailey. Did you or did you not say nigga? You know, it was all of those things. It was the Carl Douglas. It was that meticulously went through line by line. It was Barry Sheck, who was the DNA king. This was when DNA was early, in its early days, and was able to show one in 5 billion, whatever that number was, could have possibly been anybody, you know, putting that data out there, strategically going through. It was Barry Sheck saying, how about that, Mr. Funk? I'm telling you, I know this case inside and out.
Right, you do. And here's that's the inside the courtroom. But what we also have to think about is happening during this time. We talked about music. We talked about music being conscious and Black consciousness. And we talk about the creation for the first time in of not Black exploitation cinema, but actual Black celebration cinema, Boomerang, House Party, all these movies that we were starting to watch that were showing Black people as being like just people, like normal people. And that we also have to realize that we saw Johnny Cochran as a lead attorney. Now you turn on the TV, you see a whole bunch of Black people play judges. And but that was not the case back then. We were criminals and everything like that. I'm going to take it one step further. I'm taking that one step to go forward. Remember, Doug Williams, whose football I have right here. Doug Williams had just won a Super Bowl. We still didn't have Black quarterbacks in the NFL. You think we don't have Black coaches now? What did you think we had back then? Black people were not in leadership roles. All we were athletes at best. So here you have Johnny Cochran playing way outside it, punching way above his weight, leading the dream team against the United States of America. Come on. Not since us, Houston, in Brown, Thurgood Marshall and Brown. Not since then had you found a Black person as an attorney in such a high profile role. And he wasn't this time fighting a race case. He was actually fighting a criminal case. We had never seen anything like that. There was no such thing. And then it was on TV. There were cameras in the courtroom. What we saw for the first time was justice unfolding, because to your point, Tez, a lot of Black people have never been in the courtroom. We've never been jurors. We always been defendants. So we've seen the government from a whole different side. So when you see someone like, who I'm thinking of the prosecutor, you said his name earlier.
Chris Darden.
Mm-hmm. Chris Darden. When you talk about someone like Chris Darden, he's working for the government. He's just working for the man. He ain't nothing but an overseer. So you're seeing a time in American history when all these elements are coming together. I don't care if you're a Washington Redskins fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I, as a Dallas Cowboys, this should be a sacrilegious. I have a signed football from Doug Williams, because when Doug Williams won the MVP for the Super Bowl, we won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It proved that we could do it. When Johnny Cochran did that, he proved to so many young Black men that we could be that too. So many young Black women that we could do that too. So, you know, you connected to F. Lee Bailey, but what we all know is that the quarterback of that team was John Cochran.
Oh,
that's
no
who
question.
Was the cat.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
And I want to be clear, like, I connected to, you know, I'm a bootleg preacher. You know, I'll be preaching. So I connected to the pastoral delivery of Johnny Cochran for sure. I'm just saying in my debate style. That
no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, there's some people, I got to be clear about for the people on here because I don't want them thinking I'm connecting to a white man. When it comes to my debate style that people still can't get over, they say that every day on the Breakfast Club. I asked Vivek Ramaswamy a year ago and they still talking about that. And because it is so tenacious and so like a guy told me last week, ambushy, you know, that style. I was watching it in real time, but I still appreciated the pastoral. And I do that sometimes. People on my IG, they see me. I may come for somebody and then I'll immediately go to, but you know, I still love you, sweetheart. That was the Johnny Cochran style. Well, Judge, I, he had a way of a charisma about himself. So I picked up, for me, I tried to look at his charisma. I looked at Ethel Bailey, known as a junkyard dog. I always wanted to be the junkyard dog. I looked at, what Carl Douglas was doing. I looked at the ability for Barry Scheck to break down DNA in an understandable way, which is why Charlamagne calls me the hood whisperer, because he said, you can explain things in ways that people cannot. And I remembered, you know, him being able to make it so simple for people, how they were walking over the evidence, how, you know, they weren't being careful. They didn't have gloves. They didn't all that. And I remember the moment of saying, how about that, Mr. Fung? And just being able to show that they didn't have gloves at that particular time when they were picking up that particular piece of evidence, it wiped out everything in addition to the Mark Furman. So it was so many layers of this case that I just wanted to talk about, and I appreciate you being here today. And I keep saying I'm going to let you go, that I'm going to spend more time talking about, because there is one, you know, rest in peace to O.J. Simpson, whether you loved, did not love, admired for whatever reason, resented, whatever it is, a family did lose a dad, you know, and a father and all of those things. And at the same time, so did Nicole Brown Simpson. This is going to bring.
And Ron Goldman.
And Ron Goldman. And people are mad at Caitlin. And I'm going to say this to the people who, and you know, I don't cap for nobody, but I'm going to say this to the people who got on my live saying, you know, Caitlin Jenner was wrong for what she said. Well, people have to remember at that time, Caitlin Jenner was the husband of the Kardashian, who was one of Nicole's best friends. So, and a lot of people may not know that. So when the Kardashians was going through this, just so y'all don't know, because a lot of people don't do their history, they just be talking. Kardashian, what's mom's name? Mrs. Kardashian, you know, for example, forgetting her name. Chris Kardashian was the wife of Robert Kardashian, who was the lead attorney on the Simpson case.
Initially.
Before Johnny Cochran. Yes. Before
Johnny Cochran. He was losing the case.
That's right. He was losing the case. And He did not believe. He believed in OJ. He was the first one there. People need to understand this. He was the first one there. He was his best friend. But as the evidence started unfolding, he began to believe that OJ did it. Now, he stayed on the case through resentment. I don't know why he stayed on the case. But he started to believe, I don't believe OJ did. And if people go back and look at the verdict and look at when they said not guilty, look at Kardashian's face. He literally shook his head like he said, I can't believe it. He thought OJ did it. So I want guys to understand that when you're seeing Caitlyn Jenner make that comment, she was the husband of the best friend of that family at that time. And they separated.
But they were all friends. They were all part of a friendship network. So just imagine, if you will, your friend is killed by another one of your friends.
Right.
I mean, y'all ain't going to be like, RIP, sleep in peace. You're not going to do that. You're going to be like, good riddance at best. The most polite thing you're going to say. If your man, if you cool with a couple and he kills her or she him and gets away with it, y'all probably going to have some choice words for him too. So,
and for them, they believed he did it, and they believed it based upon the relationship that they had.
But they were around him when he was talking to her.
So, guys, you gotta be mindful of,
like, y'all don't understand. Like, if you with a crew of people, y'all all growing up together, you all married at the same time, you know, when certain people come to the crib and y'all about to have a cookout or a party, whatever, you like, they just finished arguing again. Dang. She come in, she crying, and he come in, he voices raspy because they didn't have another argument. And then you hear she's dead. And you know them well enough to know that she has told you that he beats her ass.
Right.
I mean, I will hold a grudge on that one. Count me in.
I mean, definitely she has a right to have an opinion on it, you know. And so I'm just pointing that out for those who are not familiar with it, that is coming from a very personal place. It's not just a hot take, you know, whether you agree with it or not. Caitlin's not just making a comment based upon, you know, just how do I feel. It is really from a relationship. So when people say she was out of pocket, and I'm just addressing some of the people that were here saying she's out of pocket, I don't know. She got a personal opinion based on their relationship. We're probably more out of pocket than they are because we don't know who those people are, never have met them, and never will. So
I'll say this. I don't know whose death I'm going to celebrate. So when somebody's dead, they're dead. I'm not going to sit there and say that I want great things to happen for everybody. But death is death. Death
and
is
everybody's
going
to die, by the way.
And so, in terms of good riddance, I don't know from me.
Yeah.
I think as we've all been taught, if you don't have anything nice to say, you don't say anything. So I don't know. But again, I didn't lose a friend.
And again, because there's going to be so many conversations about this, so many people unpacking this, so many people. I think her point was that. Let me put this out here too for y'all to deal with. I want you to recognize what this meant to me, because not saying anything at all was, you know, we talk about this all the time. Messages continue to go on and on and on. There's nothing there for checks and balances. So I didn't hear the whole quote.
So I don't know.
It was just simply
really
that
said.
Good riddance. It was just that. It wasn't anything else but that. Just good riddance.
Okay. So again, for me, I care not what Caitlyn Jenner says about anything. For me, the real story is that Ron Goldman is dead. Nicole Brown Simpson is dead. Now O.J. Simpson is dead. We can talk about, as we have, what that meant during that time, this case meant during that time, and adding context for those who may not have lived through it. But I return to, I cannot have this conversation again as a heterosexual male. Father, husband, friend, and not acknowledge that it ain't cool to beat on a woman. It ain't cool to grab on a woman. If y'all are in that place, and I say this to the brothers, if you are in the place with a sister right now where you feel like y'all can't just argue like normal people and you can't keep your hands to yourself, get help. Because I recognize a lot of us grew up watching and being told that that was the way that you take care of a woman. You gotta treat her a certain way. And I've heard that. I've heard those same things, and I know it's not true, but sometimes you grow up with certain, you're being taught something and you develop an accent and you begin to think that way. And it's the wrong way to think and it's the wrong way to act. So if you're in a relationship, brother, right now, where you feel like you got to put your hands on a woman, A, don't, and B, go get some help, or C, leave. Yeah. If that's what it is, that y'all can't just argue. And I mean, hey, spirited argument. Names get called, things get said, but once you cross the line, got to put your hands on somebody. I think, I'll say this, I think a lot of times, I don't know about in the O.J. Simpson situation, but I think in a lot of these 48 hours things, I think it was an argument that just went one step. You better not, I will. You better not, I will. And then boom. And it wasn't premeditated, but they, you know, that's, you can tell that by the fact they didn't clean it up. They, you know what I mean? The person got caught because they didn't plan this thing. It was just like, went there. I'm saying if you're in that space, either as a man or a woman, leave, please. Get help, please. Because your children don't deserve to go to your funeral behind.
Well, some people would say that she didn't leave. This was, you know, but then that's a whole nother conversation.
She did. She did.
And it goes to if you believe he did it or not, which is a whole nother conversation that we can unpack another time. This was supposed to be 30 minutes. I appreciate your time. I had to go to my largest.
You know, I love you to pieces.
This was great, guys. Put a 3 in the chat if you enjoyed it. And you're right. I don't care about what Caitlin has to say, too. I just want people to know, because that was 29 years ago, 30 years ago. And so people are just literally, they don't even know who Caitlyn Jenner was before in that relationship. So I wanted to put that out there before. That was Bruce talking, you know, from that relationship at that time. And people just really have to do their research on this case because there are so many layers. And so I encourage you guys to look at the case, go back, look at the original YouTube, take the time and watch the case for yourself. Don't just watch the fiction documentary. They're all over the top. A lot of the fiction movies, they're definitely, you know, can be one-sided. Take the time. If you are interested in community organizing and how to win in the court of public opinion, watch it. If you're interested in the law, if you're interested, this is the case that made me want to do cable news commentary because that was when CNN actually, guys, so that you know, really started doing 24-hour news. At that time, there was no 24-hour news. This case showed that the ratings can bring in 24-hour news. I was addicted
to it. Built a network. It built a network and an industry.
Yes, a whole industry. I was fascinated with court TV. I talked so much about this that even in the Ben Crump civil documentary, they filmed me watching this case, but it never made it to the, it got cut on the cutting floor. But this is one of the most fascinating things that I've ever, that I still look to this day, from skill, from debate, from, and I'm talking just from a technical side, and then the cultural side, race.
I was going to say, and I think also, as we close, I think people should also go look back at the music that was of the time. Yes. Go look at the lyrics of the music. Go look at what Black people were watching during that time. What movies there were. Remember, this is the post Cosby Show era. So this is post Cosby Show. Post A Different World. Those were coming off the air. This was a time when it was still a big joke. I mean, this is when Tupac said that a Black man to be president. Like, that was one of those revolutionary things that you could say because it was just so implausible.
Right.
This was during that time. This was all during that time. So look at the fact that there was the Million Man March. Look at the fact that there were these other things going on in the zeitgeist. So you see the swirl. Think of Reginald Denny, who was the truck driver who got beaten up on Crenshaw by people who
were celebrating that. Mm-hmm.
They celebrated the fact that this white man who he was just at work.
Right.
There's no evidence that Reginald Denny did anything to anyone ever. And they hit this man with, I've forgotten what it was, but something heavy and hard. It was something like a brick or something.
Bible, I think it was something.
It was something that heavy and hard that could have killed the man. Mm-hmm. So the point is that these were all the things. And if you look at this, I've heard it said that a riot is the language of the unheard. Mm-hmm. This was a cultural riot that was taking shape. And the closest thing that we would see would be the post George Floyd experience.
Right.
And if during that time, one of the greatest athletes of that time were to find himself in this situation. It would be the closest thing to it, but that didn't happen. Thank God for everyone.
Maybe for a part two, because again, we also have to look at what happened after that. That is when the retaliation for the war on drugs, and because again, these same brothers who were doing the peace treaty were then targeted.
Super predators.
Yes, that's
super
right.
Super predators.
Targeted.
Your girl.
And that's right.
Clinton,
and got
and
caught up in mass incarceration. And many would say that that might have been a backlash. I got
that's
a whole
less people
got,
that we've been talking about.
That's right. I got a whole poem about it. About it all started with Rodney King. They had to do something to get those brothers off the scene. Locked them up. Young brothers got stuck. And now they mad. I got a whole poem about like what actually happened during that era. So maybe you can come back and we can unpack that. Because again, this guy's is so critical. You're going to hear a lot of things out there about this commentary. Thank you for joining me to hear this piece. With Dr. Steve Perry, and I've held him over way longer than I've expected, but this was just such a good conversation, I couldn't stop it. Thank you so much, Dr. Perry. Make sure you follow Dr. Perry on all social media platforms. Please support his school, Capital Preparatory School, a choice school. You can see him and I have a great conversation also on Tez on 10, where we talk about school choice versus public schools. That's a great debate between him and Gary Chambers. So just a great friend of mine. And this is what we talk about, guys, when we're talking off the air. So you guys got a chance to peep in. Thank you so much, Dr. Perry. I appreciate y'all.
Love you to pieces, sis. Take care.
Peace. If you like what you heard on Straight Shot No Chaser, please subscribe and drop a 5-star review and tell a friend. Straight Shot No Chaser is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. I'm Teslin Figaro, and I'd like to thank our producer, editor, mixer, Dwayne Crawford, and our executive producer, Charlamagne Tha God. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.